Okay, we're holding here in Parshas Achrimois, and the first topic that's discussed and quite famous is the inyan of the Sur LaZozel. It's something which stands out as being unique. It almost transcends or transgresses on the issur of being of worshipping Avodah Zorah, Satan. The Torah is very makbid in Kachem Bechutz, and that's the second part of the parasha, that everything is supposed to be Lakodesh inside. And this is different, it's outside, and it seems to be, the way Chazal say, to some forces and so on. And that's, Rav Nezer speaks about it, Ramban quotes it. We're going to see now the first piece, which is Ramban, and he quotes Rav Nezer and comments on it. So, the first paragraph is Gor Echad LaZozel, and it explains how Zozel is in the Midbar, and it's a mountain, and so on. The second paragraph, Rabbein Avram Kosav, the Avinezer writes, Amar Rav Shmuel, Al Pesha Kosav B'Sur Echatas Shul Hashem, even though on the Sur Echatas it says that that's L'Shem Hashem, Gam HaSur HaMishtaleach Hul Hashem, the Sur HaMishtaleach was also L'Hashem. In other words, if you look at the Psukim, and you sort of parse it exactly, it sounds as if the Sur Lechat has been brought to Hashem. The Sur Mishtaleach is not. He says, Chas V'Shalom. The Ein Sur, it says, Ki HaMishtaleach Einen a Korban. You don't need to include it. It's not a Korban which would need to be L'Hashem. Shelo Yishochet. So Nezah says, no, it's not L'Hashem, but it doesn't need to be L'Hashem because it's not a Korban. V'im Yecholta L'Hovin Asoid Shu Acha Milas Azazel. If you can understand the soid that is after the word Azazel, teda soidoi v'soid shmoi, you'll know its soid and the soid of what Azazel is. Ki esh lechaver mimikra. V'ani agal l'chok tzas ha-soid. I, Rav Nezer says, will reveal to you a little bit of that soid. Beremez, b'yoysu v'shloishim v'shol shereinu. When you'll be 33, you'll know. So this is a very cryptic Rav Nezer. It's understood that he refers to 33 psukim later, which deals with the story that it says of Leizbuchod Lasirim and so on. Basically, he leaves it as such. And the Ramban says, "V'hineh Rabbi Avram Neman Ruch Mechasedava." Rabbi Avram dealt appropriately by not speaking about it publicly. It's a pasuk Neman Ruch Mechasedava. Vani Arochel Megala Sodom, but I'm a big mouth, and I'm going to tell you the story. Shekut Gilos and I'm saying it all in Kermes Rabbim. So basically, he's going to use Devin Ezra's point and explain it. It's very interesting the relationship in general between Devin Ezra and Ramban. And Ramban is sometimes extremely tough and says some very very tough things about Devin Ezra's pshat. On the other hand, over here he's saying Devin Ezra is the Neman Ruach who got the point correct, and I will just I'll publicize it. Okay, so he says Omer Beishas Rab, it says V'nosa Ser Olav Ze Esav and Hein Esav Achi Seir and so on and so forth. In other words, Seir is always represents Esav. Next paragraph. From a portion of a paragraph in Elazar Gadol, in Pirkei Avos it says, Pirkei Avos is a medrash that deals, it goes a little bit kaseid parshas, but it's sort of long hemshich. It's a very chashuv medrash, very famous medrash. It's one of the medrashim that we have in the Seiris. It's from Kadmoinim. It has a chashuv makom in the world of Kabbalah. The Radal has a pirush on it, the Gaon's Talmud. The Rambam also talks about it in different places. But the Pirkei Avos says, Lefika choyenoysen le l'smol sheichad v'yom kippurim shele levat las korbanim. They would give samoil, which is the satan sheichad in kippah, so they shouldn't destroy the korban. Shenema gor lecha l'ashem gor lecha l'azazel. Gorol lecha kash baruch hu l'korban oyla v'gorol lecha l'azazel sor achatos v'cholav v'nesem sheisrol olav. Shenema nos esor olav. So he says that the giving of the soy of the soy lazozel is, so to speak, a bribe to the koyches of Ra, so that they would not disturb Klal Yisrael in the Avodah on Yom Kippur. The Medrash continues, we'll just skim over it, that Klal Yisrael is that the Sultan comes on Yom Kippur and he says about Klal Yisrael, Vinosa Sir Olav, Samol says that they have no Chet in Yom Kippur, and he tells the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have no nation like Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael is just like Malachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shomei Edusa Shei Somer Kategah Shlehem, and Mechapa L'Mizbeach, and so on. So when the Kategah himself tells over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Shvachim of Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechaper, and so on and so forth, Akar HaKadazu V'nei Adeinu Shmoy Maseo. So we already have a name. The name is Samuel, who is the Malach of Ra. Samuel is another, it's one of the synonyms of the Satan. And that is the act of giving the Sir Lazozel makes a Sanegar out of him. Well, yes?
I guess I'm just confused. The Midrash is saying that this Malach comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after we send the Seir to Azazel, because we sent the Seir to Azazel,
right.
That's why it comes to Hashem?
Yes, the Seir Lazozel is, so to speak, the Shochad. It's just like when you bribe off the prosecutor, and the prosecutor says, Your Honor, I think I made a mistake. The defendant is a wonderful, wonderful person. That's sort of what it's like. He hasn't explained yet how, what, or why, when, but he's saying, we're not offering him something for himself. In the big picture of Din, the Kateger is bought off with this karma. Now, as explained, he will continue to explain it. So the first thing he wants to say is that the other entity, the name of the other entity, is the Satan, as Kateger. And it's a process of getting the Kateger on board with the Klal Yisrael Chosim. V'zeh sod ha'inyan. Chayo ovdim l'alehim acherim him ha'malachim. They would sometimes be, they would worship other malachim. Oslam karbanis im l'reach nechoach. Kin shenema v'shmani v'ketatet hatifneihem. The Navi castigates Klal Yisrael that they actually, that they worshipped others. The others that they worshipped were all, malachim, of course. In other words, it wasn't rank Avodah Zarah, but it was kohos that I'm not a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rabban says in other places that on Karbanis, just like davening, there's a kapeda. When we learn, we can learn about malachim and what the task of each malach is. When we deal with Karbanis and Avodah Hashem, it can be only to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So here we did wrong. One of the things we did wrong was that we worshipped to these other entities. V'hinei Rabban says, "Atayr os legamri kabbalas alahusam v'lavodah lehem." You're not allowed to do any avodah to them. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Altsiva HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yom Kippurim, shenishlach soyer b'midbar l'sara moshe kavas achorim." We should send off a soyer in the midbar to the force that exists in place of chorim. Vor royaloi. It's appropriate for him, Neshu Balov, because he is the right Balabayit. In other words, the smile is the Balabayis in the world of Churban. Umatzilus kocho yavachor v'shimamon. It's his koach of Churban Shimamon. Kihu ha'ilo l'koich ha'cher v'adomim, and so on. He is the source of war, destruction, and period and everything. Vaklal nefesh gal gemadim. It's sort of the spirit behind Mars, which is seen as the koich of war. Vechelkem and omos hu Esav, and the nations that he represents is Esav. Umina behemas asirim vaizim, and of the animals sirim izim. Ubechelko da shedim and ikur mazikim. So the Ramban says, the next point he makes is as follows: the Akadosh Baruch Hu divided the world into different estates. In places that have different hanhagas and kohos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did divide the world into kohos, where malachim, different malachim Am Emunah are different things. We're not allowed to daven to any of them, but there is a makom avod with it. Now, the first thing is there is something called Samoel, who is in charge of anything, any destructive nihilism, destruction, that churban, that's under his jurisdiction, on his kohos. Midbar is the place of churban in terms of place. Mars is the koach and the kohavim. Esav amongst the umos, like Esav said, hina lecha holech lomus, lom li abchora. In other words, Misa is the core. At the end of it all, everything is destroyed and so on and so forth. That's Esav's approach. Those are all one package of the Bria. Next paragraph. Ve'ina kavana b'sav shechtiya karmit ha'chalila. It's not a carbon that we're giving him. Avoshatiya kavana seina la'atzat zimbar eina shetzivonu kach. What we're doing is we're fulfilling our Kaddish Baruch Hu's rutzen to do that. It's like, just like if a person makes a suda for the Adam, and the Adam says, please give this Eved a portion. He's not giving it to the Eved and not for his kavod, but he's giving it for the Adam, and the Adam is giving it as a pras to his Eved. Now, so he's explaining the following. Everything in the Bria has its place. And on the one hand, we are meant to acknowledge the place of everything. On the other hand, we're not allowed to turn towards it and worship it as if it's its own koach. Let's give an example. Let's give an example that so we can get a better picture of what it means. Because it's a very fine point, it's just very nagia a lot in understanding people who have kavanas, all sorts of shemos and malachim, etc., etc. Let's say I want a favor from somebody who is the head of a very big corporation. So I want an extraordinary delivery of equipment. It's not normal hours, it's not normal time frame, and so on and so forth. I call up the boss and I say, I know that's not what you normally do, but I really need this thing. It's a real emergency. I've been a good customer for a long time. Could you do this for me? So the guy says, okay, you know what? Yes. So I say, well, roll up your sleeves, take out the keys, run down to the warehouse, and get me the thing. He would get very annoyed. He would say, well, I've given the okay. Talk to the delivery guy, talk to stack room, talk to inventory, talk to whoever it is, and just tell him I said so. The boss doesn't want to, this, that's the way you set up the factory. It has a process, he just gave you okay. On the other hand, let's say I would say, the big guy sits all day in meetings and stuff like that. If I slip a few dollars to the guy in charge of the warehouse, I could probably get the equipment when I need it, and that's that. That would, if the big guy found out about it, that would get him very, very upset. In other words, I need to distinguish very carefully between who's got the authority and what's the mechanism by which authority translates itself into lemaisa. We should not be mispalo. When a person is mispalo, a person should not be mispalo. Ribbono shelom, refa'enu. I want to not eat, but you just make a nes and I should live without eating. Baruch Aleinu, I don't want to go through the motions of Parnassa, I just want a lottery ticket every other week. That's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to run the world. He wants to run the world through a mechanism of Hanhaga, Teva, etc., etc. What we ask for is Baruch Aleinu, Sashana, Zayzas, Komen, Svor, Salateva. I'm going to plant and grow, etc., 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 and I want the Makar, I want you to turn the key to Bracha. Refa'enu, there's Mahalchim of Refuah, and I want you to send the Refuah through it, and so on and so forth. On the other hand, to turn to the Malach HaFol and say, could I trouble you for some Refuah, is Chas V'Shalom Mekatzim and Tiyas. It's wrong. So, in the sending off, there are kohos of Ra in the world. They have a place. Let's give an example, something that we can get a little bit better a sense of it. A small muscle, but somehow we can get a sense of it. Let's say you take a bacher, and you say, I want this bacher to be a very big, you know, what are my goals? My goals is he should be very, very, should walk around with COVID rosh, and be very involved with Hashem, etc. But there's a part of his body, there's a koach in his body of a need for excitement, for action. That's part of it. If you deny it, then it's not going to work. Because Akash Baruch set up a teenage body to be in a certain way, teenage psyche, teenage body. So I need to give him times and say, now's the time to run, to scream, to yell, to jump, whatever. Those to get excited, those are kohos that must receive their due, but it's always got to be with the perspective that it's because Avodas Hashem is what it's about, and this is for Avodas Hashem. It's got to be understood. The tachlis is not the excitement that I'm having. The excitement I'm having is a necessary piece in the bigger package. Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's a chilek in the Bria of Mavis, of Chorban. That gets its due. It has its place in the Bria. So on Yom Kippur, because in a high darga, we can satisfy it. And we can do it l'shem shamayim. We're sending off, the Sa'ir belongs in the place of Chorban, and it is the food, it's the portion given to that. So just like the Gemara says to give a young child kalim to break, because it releases energy. There's a you know, I need to give the teenager his wild side. I need to let him express wild side, so that having met all of the needs, emotional and physical, psychological demands and needs of the child, he will be able to devote all his kochos avodas Hashem. So Klal Yisrael is giving this chelek because Hashem said so. And he says that's the omek why a goral is involved. In other words, if the kohen would say, this Hakadosh Baruch Hu, this is for Azazel. So basically he would be saying, I'm making a conscious decision to something. That's not true. He would put it down the Pesach Ol Moed for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kishneya matan l'Hashem. Unasan mehem la'avda chelek Hashem l'meis Hashem. And he would give the chelek, he would give this Eved the chelek that gives HaKadosh Hashem. Hu hiplam goyal v'yadu chelek l'hem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that cast a lot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what am I supposed to do with these balechayim? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells me, this is given to Hashem, and this is given Azazel. So it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being makdishit, kaviyachol, dedicating it towards that tachlis. The gamachra goral, next paragraph. After the goral, he would put him down, he would place him for HaKadosh Baruch Hu both and say, the one that I'm interacting with is you. But since you desire to have it sent off, that's what we'll do. We're not misasking navodet. It all goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'tirgim unkelus l'shmod el Hashem v'la'zozol. K'echad l'shem Hashem v'loy loy, v'asheni l'azozol v'loy l'shmoy shel azozol. In other words, l'shmod Hashem. He says, take a look. Awesome how the Targum gets around this the issue. He says, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't give a Baal Chai to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's obvious. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need the sheep. You're doing it l'shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you're giving it to him. The Azazel is the opposite. The Azazel, the Koach, needs something. He needs the Sawyer, but it's not l'shmoy. So the Targum teaches when it says, Yom HaLifne Hashem, the l'shmoy l'shmoy, for Hashem we're talking about l'shmoy l'shem, for Azazel we're not talking l'shmoy l'Azazel. Yes?
Is Hashem trying to, through this mitzvah, trying to make us aware of the way the Bria is set up, or, you know, Hashem's saying we have to send this over there to, we're doing it because Hashem told us to do it, but in terms of...
I would say it's a deeper nekuda. I would say Yom Kippur is the day that you're dealing with the musik of Chet and Tikkun and the Bria. In other words, the very process of Yom Kippur is something that is an indication that there's another chelek of the bria that is wrong, is bad. What is this chelek? In other words, Yom Kippur is the day we deal with the chelek hara of the bria. All the other Yom Tovim would exist just with Avodas Hashem as well. They don't necessarily exist. They don't need any sense of ra to exist. They are what they are. Yom Kippur is the day of the bria dealing with ra. So it's what we're trying to say is even ra has its makom mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not a force outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's a force within. For instance, let's give an example. Let's say there's somebody who is a double spy. He's not only spying for A, but he's really spying for B. Well, who's his employer? You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ra comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Bria needs Ra as a potential, Lav Dafka as a fulfill. So it's a certain affirmation that Ra also wants HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, let's talk a little bit about it. If I have two entities, A and B, so no matter how much bigger and better A is than B, B is still its own entity. The only time B stops being its own entity is when I show it to be a dependent of A. It's like if you take A away, B doesn't exist. If you take away B, A is not affected, then B is a dependent of A and not a coexister of A. So when we're dealing with Tov and Ra, the picture that the more primitive religions have of the kohos of Ra versus kohos of Tov, to us reeks of Avodah Zarah, because there is an other entity. By showing that Koach B receives its yinika from Koach A, that it's getting its metzias because A is feeding it, because A has a purpose for it, then we've shown B to be not existent as B. It's a variation of A. Yom Kippur is the highest moment of Avodah, when the Melech tells us to give something to the other person. For instance, let's say I work for somebody who has a very contentious relationship with somebody else. So if I were to give the other person some of my boss's money, I would have my head chopped off, rightfully so. This guy's my competitor, what do you mean you're giving him money? But let's say my boss has a reason why he wants a competitor. Maybe it'll help with antitrust legislation. Maybe people will think that the price is cheap. But the person really is funding the competitor. So then when the boss tells me, you know, why don't you finance them or whatever it is, then really I'm fulfilling his rutzen. That's what he's saying here. The next paragraph. He says, "Umepnei azor anze omru chazal veschu koysai devarim sheitzahar mekatku behem. Umasoy lo meshiv aleim levisha shatnes paradu masoy mishtaleach. V'lo matzonu bekorbanes tshuva lo umasoy lo maleinu. Kehim al ishe Hashem. Al besoy mishtaleach yeshivu aleinu ki yachshu v'son oisik maseim v'chim paraduma. So he says over here that the goyim have no problem with oila, with shlomim, with chatas, with toida and shteh lechem and who knows what. They have no problem with it. Why? Because karbanis are understood. In other words, you may not like karbanis, but it's an avodat Hashem. It's consistent. But the two quasi karbanis that are similar to carbon but are outside the Beis HaMikdash, are Paradum and Ser Lazazel. Both of them deal with kohos of Ra. I mean, Paradum deals with Misa, which is the Satan, is the Malchamavas and so on, and Ser deals with the Satan. Those are two areas that are very, very much, it sounds as if we're worshipping the forces of evil, as if we're trying to sort of cut a deal with them. And that's where the Umas Olam badger us and tell us, you guys got this little thing with Ra as well. You sort of hedge your bets. You know, 100 Karbanis HaKadosh Baruch Hu and slip one in for Zazel as well. That's where you have the Umas Olam being meshivin aleihem. Vehine, he says, Rama lecha Eben Avram shateid asor shdei lepasuk yizuchu oitz zivchem l'seirim. He says the meaning, the word, the Sir Lazozo, you're going to find out when you get to that pasuk of the Vchem l'seirim. And then he says one more paragraph that if you Vehine enyim mevuah zulosim tachkor ma'in l'sichem dolim ruchos bekarbon. The one question you can still deal with is, well, what do all these kohos give over to? What are all these kohos getting out of this carbon? He says this is something that belongs chachmas necromancy v'yidur gam v'sichlim v'rims atar mevesoidam v'leuchal afaris. Says I don't want to elaborate on that point. Netzrichim lachzim piyam mischakim b'teva and neshochim achayivoni asher hikchish kol dovah zolos yamurgashloi. He says, I don't want to deal with it more because I am going to get a lot of flack from the people that are more rationalist, and I'm going to have to broaden I'm going to have to broaden my exposition to deal with that, and I don't want to. In other words, it's not obviously a piece, you know, you ask yourself, what does a piece of goat meat do for a koach of Ra, and so on and so forth? If it's an act of worship and sort of, reverence, so I can understand it. But if you're telling me you're feeding them with it, kind of, how are you feeding them? So the Ramban says here, I don't want to have to deal with it, and so on. And he answered a line that's become quite famous, and Rabbi Bechayer also speaks about it, about his description of what's wrong with philosophy, or not philosophy, I should say, but with philosophers, and especially Aristotelian philosophers and onwards. He says here a line. This line really is its own Ramban in a sense, and it doesn't have all of Mashiach's before. But he says, he speaks about the Pia Mishchakmin, Lapsa Pia Mishchakmin B'teva, Hanim Shochim Acha Yevani, that they are they follow Aristotle, Ashehikris Koldova Zulosia Murgashlay, who denies the validity of anything that he hasn't sensed, experienced, felt, etc., or that can be experienced or sensed whatever thing. Behegis died to Lashutam Rashoim. He's arrogant enough to think he and his wicked Talmidim Kikol inus the hisike love hubis verosai, that which he has not understood, a nena emes, is not true. Now, this is a key to understanding the polemic between the religious or Torah and philosophy where it exists. If a person says, these are the things that I understand, that statement is a perfectly legitimate statement. I understand X, I understand Y. That's a statement of fact, and that's fine. If a person adds something to it, and he says, I don't understand Y, therefore Y is wrong, or therefore Y doesn't exist, because it doesn't make any sense, that person is drawing a conclusion that's built on the following premise. My understanding is total. My mind and reality, to its ultimate degree, is one and the same. And if I don't detect it, then it doesn't exist. For instance, let's say a person has a thermometer. A thermometer goes from, let's say, a body thermometer goes from, I don't know, 90 degrees to 105 degrees for body heat. So, let's say 95 degrees to 105 degrees. Let's say the thermometer can't measure, I have something that's 80 degrees and the thermometer can't measure it. So I say, this entity has no temperature whatsoever. I say, no. Well, the thermometer can only measure, this range of heat, and there are other ranges of heat or cold that are just outside of the range of the thermometer. let's say I have the ultimate amount that starts at absolute zero and goes to, I don't know if there's an absolute high temperature, not a way that there is, but I mean, the practical of there is, and then I can't measure something, then it doesn't exist. The cornerstone of religion is that human mind is part of a spectrum of reality and covers part of that spectrum. And therefore, some of the truths are going to be revealed because they are not, they're not discernible by the mind itself. Once they're revealed to us, we can understand them, we can relate to them, we can accept them. But it's not as if the mind is absolute. Philosophy, in the sense that he's using it, Aristotelian philosophy, rationalist philosophy, Greek philosophy, they put down as a yesod that truth is that which the human mind ascertains. Now, there were some good parts to it. People would come along with Baba Mises based on fantasies. So obviously, Icy Raya. You know, our first question is, where are you coming from? Just because you said so doesn't mean anything. Just because you intuit so doesn't mean anything. Those were valid questions. In other words, where truth can be anything anybody says certainly doesn't stand as the truth. But by automatically a priori accepting that the only things that exist are those which we understand to be true, we're automatically making a statement that has itself no basis in fact. That the human mind is capable of totally comprehending reality is a postulate, and it's not, if you think about it long and hard, why should that be so? We don't see all the light waves, our eyes don't see all light waves, our ears don't hear all sound waves. Why should our mind be able to comprehend all reality? There's no answer to that question. He says for the Yevani to accept that there are areas of creation such as Kochos Orion, in Yanim that don't translate themselves to rational systems is something which is, that's what they hold, and this is something which is so that's why he doesn't want to elaborate and deal with things that he's going to have to deal with this issue and so on.
Well, yes, in those areas, Rebbe, then how do we know what's legitimate and what's not?
Correct. So that is why we must. That's why the only thing we can recourse is say once we accept Torah as being valid. For instance, let's give an example. Let's take a person is suffering from very very high body temperature, and he's burning in a temperature. And logic tells you that if he's too hot, cool him down, put ice cubes on, open the windows, etc., etc., etc. There, let's say there's a big doctor here, someone that my experience with him has been very positive. Everyone has said great things about him. He studied at the best places, and he says, "No, you need to heat the body," and that creates that effect. I will, if I have enough trust and belief based on past experience, will say it beats me, but I need to trust him. It's only because our senses saw Maimon Har Sinai, as the Rambam says, our own eyes experienced it, and Nevuah and Nisim Mitzrayim reaffirmed it. That's why we say there is something else also, and that's what we need to come on to. So it's very tough. It's something that we need to trust. And trust must be built on something that I can say I have reason to trust. If a stranger comes and says, "I'm a Navi from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have Ruach HaKadosh," we don't accept him. We try to get him some help. It's only when somebody that has a record, and just like by Nevuah has to prove that he's a Navi, and the only time we listen to a Navi to Farah Shah is when he's a tried and true Navi. So yes, it's tricky, but religion is built on the fact that there are truths that are above it, and cannot be ascertained by human seichel. It's a key element of Torah. That's why the so-called rationalist approach to Yiddishkeit has very big shortcomings. At the end of the day, any religion, and certainly Yahadus, is built on something that reason itself cannot prove, may it sometimes be at loggerheads with it. And when I ask a person, how do you make a guy happy? The answer will be, eat a lot, drink a lot, womenize a lot, do nothing a lot. And then Torah comes along and says, no, control yourself, and be mechanized yourself, and so on and so forth. It sometimes it's against human instinct, but we accept it because there's Torah and there was a Gilui Min HaShemayim and there was a Mayim Min HaSinai and so on and so forth. That's what we accept it on.
I guess also, though, perhaps there's also a question when we're dealing with inyanim that are nistar.
Yeah.
In terms of making sense of those.
For instance.
Well, for instance, the explanation here of the Seir Azazel.
Right.
I guess what I'm saying is the explanation for what the Seir Azazel is and all the different kohos of, different malachim and the explanations for what the different tam is for the korban, or if you want to look at it as a korban, it's not a korban. I guess, our seichel can't understand that, and it's nothing that's mefarsh for us. So I guess we have to be makabel from the
yes.
from the mefarsh.
Right. Well, the only, this chelik of Torah that it's called Chacham Shapnim, Kabbalah, and so on, which deals with those parts that are almost totally not translatable into Seichel Dika Mahalchim, is going to we have to rely on this Masoret, and that's why it's called Kabbalah, because the only way we know these things to be true, because when you're dealing with things that there's no way to translate into Seichel, we really need to rely on it. It's one of the reasons why there's a tremendous kepeda in the world of Kabbalah not to say Chidushim. We have the two things that we have a very strong Mesoris, that it's Torah Emes, we have the Zohar Kodesh, and we have the Arizal, Kisei Arizal, which all Gol Yisrael was somat Hideyhem on its Amitius, and therefore we rely on that. And to say your own Chidushim, it's one thing about Metzia, which is built around Seichel. So if you understand what you learned and you worked on it, you may say chidushim that are correct, because seichel has what to say there. In inyanim of pnim, like this whole inyan over here, it's because he's following along with a mahalach of pnim and basically just translating it that he can say it, that we accept it. Those are very, very important. We'll see maybe one more small thing. The next one is a Marami Rotenberg, interesting enough, and Shudra Marami Rotenberg, who brings down the Seven Ezra Ramban, Shalecho Yisrael Azazel Midbara, he brings the Seven Ezra, he quotes Ramban, and he means to say what Seven Ezra says, that Apo Bishamata Shalecho Azazel Shalchus Avodah Zohar Listin Pishol Satan Shalecho Lahastin, I'm allowing you to feed the Satan so that you shut his mouth Shalecho Lahastin. But more than that, you don't have a shus. The chsiv leizbuchu or the seirim. V'zeh shepir shev nezer bikan soid ach shloish shalos oisef pasuk leizbuchu or the seirim. Zeh shloish shalos pesukim ach oisef pasuk. And Azazel is the sotan, some chazi and chazal. The malach, he brings the chazal here, that they took noshim kosev b'choru. V'nitel em shus lahastin. Teideh shev chol shonish shus lesotan lahastin. Avad yom kippur kish b'yumah. He adds one knate over here, I think, that is important and worth mentioning. When we ask ourselves, for instance, what are the activities a person ought to engage in, and towards what purpose? The answer is, a person is supposed to engage in chesed to build a mahalach of chesed. A person is supposed to engage in edus to in order to build up an edus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ma'is and tefillah. Persons engage in Torah and tefillah and so on. All of these have a tachlis, a constructive tachlis of accomplishing. The things that we must do, we do them to placate the kohos of Ra. For instance, if I ask myself how much Torah should a person learn, the answer is as much as you can. How much chesed should you do? As much as you can. How much relaxation should I do? The answer is as much as you need. Those are kohos that I have to satisfy. The kohos, a person is human, he's physical, and he needs to satisfy his kohos. Chazal use a very interesting lashon when they describe in Yarim of Zivuk, they call it in some places lasis trochav, which is a kind of it's using the same word as trochim of a person, which is a very bathroom, etc. Chazal, there's a certain point in that. In the activities a person does in asiyas trochav, in the sense of a bathroom, it's a need. A person has, the body needs to get rid of waste. The person's physical signals are signals of need to relieve himself, and that's what he does. It's not an end in itself, it's rather a relief from pressing needs of the body. Masha Ein Kein, so these in Yonim also, a person has to live with his taivas and needs to fulfill them. The amount he should aim for is the amount that will give him the yishuv hadas to take care of the other things he needs. Let's take an example like vacation, which is really, really a perfect example. Western society lives for vacations and retirement. I work very hard so that I can take a whopper of a vacation. I'm saving up money so that I can retire, and that's when I'm going to live. The Yiddish of the way of looking at it is a person needs to take a vacation, also out of his mind. You need to aim to take a vacation that will give you back the nuchas nefesh that you need. If you can't work anymore, you need to let go a bit. But the concept of what is its place and its role, are you worshipping the vacation, or are you using the vacation, giving it its due, that's the big divide. And that's what he means over here, I think. He says, I am giving you to be soisim his piv. In other words, Ra needs a chelik in the Bria. You must give that chelik to Ra. So, what's the chelik I'm giving him? The stimas peh. So that there's no. I'll tell you just an anecdote, I guess. It's similar, I guess. It's like my mother used to work in a sweatshop, and it's a good old business with a complete set of double books. Cash on one hand, the checks on the other hand, like the way business were run. My mother was a worker. One day, a city inspector came. And he told the boss, okay, Mr. David said things, I don't remember what the name was, and I want to see the books. He looks him over, he says, let me tell you something. Your books are too good. They're perfect. It's not going to fly. He said, you must give me one or two bad things you've done, small things, and once I have that, you're free. Because you don't want to have a complete audit. So what you want is... So the guy told him, okay, so-and-so was getting benefits. Well, it turned out that he was entitled to it, but on the surface of it, it didn't look good. He was retired, well, whatever it was. So he wrote out a fine. He traded the guy a cup. At the end, he got away a few pennies and went weiter. Of course, this all happened in the 20th century. 21st century things don't happen, but this is a 1950s story. But at any rate, in a certain sense of it, Ra has a place. If a person is Mr. Perfect, It leads to suspicion. The person has no weak points. The person doesn't ever need to take it easy. The person does. Ra has its place, and a person needs to satisfy it. But the divide is, do I worship or satisfy? One is Avodah Zarah at its worst. One is black magic Avodah Zarah. One is the appropriate thing. And that was the basic core of Sarah Zarah, and it's many levels. Now, I use Mishalim that kind of we can relate to, vacation, this, that. But we understand that we talk about the core and yanim of the Bria, of Ra and Tav and so on. Okay.